Good day, this is Greg, and I'll be reading the Vermilion County News for Tuesday, July 8th, 2025. And from the front page of the commercial news today, the first story is titled, Music That Matters. Area youth rise up for gun violence prevention. And this is by Kayla White. In the wake of the death of 18-year-old Anaya Davis, who was shot June 21st while enjoying time with friends at Winter Park, area youth have come together to express their feelings through their art. Vermilion County Project Success students from Northridge Middle School and Danville High School participated in the nonprofit's Say It With Music Camp last week, where they wrote the lyrics for an original song titled Rise Up. Our Violence Prevention Family Outreach Coordinator, Jamie Neitlinger, saw them at a conference last spring in Nashville, said CEO Kimberly David, adding that Neitlinger invited them to Danville. Project Success is able to provide a violence prevention curriculum to their students in Danville thanks to a grant they received in January. They've also previously invited Herbert Burnett with Not On My Watch out of Champaign County. When we brought this company in, they decided to focus on gun violence prevention because it's such a concern of the students and in light of recent events, said David, adding that the students pick the topic. Students also recorded a music video to accompany their song. Beyond expressing their feelings creatively, students applied STEM, or science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, skills in recording the music video. Our students wrote the lyrics and recorded the video shoot, David said. These students are amazingly talented and sharing their message about gun violence. Project Success paired up with Her Records, Incorporated out of Atlanta, to make the magic happen, while Say It With Music sent a few staff members to Danville to help students with their project. David said she is hoping to bring the summer music program back next summer, depending on whether they can get the grant money necessary. I think our staff enjoyed it as much as the students. They're working on a really powerful, hard message, but they enjoyed doing it as well, David said. Beyond the Project Success music video, Davis's death has also sparked a new interest in listening to what young people have to say about what's happening in their community. We're working with some community members to form a youth-led town hall to get ideas from students on what they think can be done to prevent this violence, David said. We need their voices, she added. Next up from the front page, we have Royal Donut expanding into new territory. Danville Staple opening new location in Champaign. And this is by Kayla White. A longtime staple of Danville is about to make some tongues and hearts very happy across the county line. Royal Donut will be opening a new location in Champaign, taking over the building that previously housed Pandemonium Donuts. We have thought about opening a Champaign location for some time, said owner Sam George, adding that it wasn't an urgent plan before their realtor reached out with an opportunity they couldn't pass up. It was already set up as a donut shop, and we thought, hey, if we're ever going to go to Champaign, this is as good of an opportunity as we'll ever get. So we kind of decided to go for it, he added. George will take over ownership of the property on August 1st, but it's unclear, he said, when Royal Donut will open to the public at the new location. Despite the fact that the location is already set up as a donut shop, George said there are still some changes and upgrades that will need to be made. We want to spend some time converting it to make it a Royal Donut, he said. As much as possible, George hopes to provide a consistent feel for people, regardless of the location they choose to visit. Our goal is to make the experience and everything the same, he said. George is hopeful that Royal Donut will be well received in Champaign. His other business, Mad Goat Coffee, also spread its wings and opened a franchise location in that area earlier this year. I was so encouraged to see the feedback we got from the Champaign community and from the people online when we made the announcement, George said. Obviously, we were hoping that they'd welcome us with open arms and people would be excited for us to be there. And already it seems like that's the case. So that's as much as we could hope for. Royal Donut first opened in 1973 by Sanford and Barbara Eichhorn. Three generations of that family ran the business, which also ran out of its Main Street location in Danville for a time. The business was forced to close in December of 2021. Sam and his wife, Rachel, purchased Royal Donut in May of 2022 alongside his siblings, Ben, George, Hannah Landis, and Holly George. Sam and Rachel joined forces with Landis and her husband, Drew, to open another beloved Danville business, Mad Goat Coffee. Cold brew from Mad Goat will be served at both Royal Donut locations, while donuts from Royal Donut are served at both Danville Mad Goat locations on Gilbert and Vermilion Streets. Pandemonium Donuts, which began as a food truck, closed in June after 12 years in business. Pandemonium Donuts was a well-loved brand in Champaign, and they decided it was time to close that chapter to try something different, George said in a July 4th social media post announcing the new location. Our donuts are not a direct replacement of their delicious and unique creations, but we hope to be a welcome addition to Champaign-Urbana, he added. For more information, you can follow Royal Donut on Facebook. Next, we're going to turn to a story by Dave Hinton from the News Gazette titled, To Be Fair, She Earned It. For Westville grad Lily Meeker, late mother's influence made a world of difference. One day, she's surrounded by other young women in fashionable gowns and glitter. And the next, she's handing out ribbons to a goat show, or maybe a poultry show. Such is the life of a fair queen at a rural fair. Crowned 2025 Queen of the Vermilion County Fair, Lily Meeker loves it and wouldn't have it any other way. Twice a second runner-up to wear the crown, the Westville High grad, a high school confidential reporter for the News Gazette, gave it one more shot, and this time judges agreed she had the right stuff to represent Vermilion. County pageant director Carly Strader, herself crowned queen in 2011, said she recognized there was something different about Meeker this year. I don't know if she was more determined, Strader said. I know there was something special this year, and it was going to pay off. Strader said she heard feedback from the judges that Meeker crushed the interview in a great way, and that is 50% of the score deciding the selection. Strader said Meeker has grown tremendously over the years. She has always been super sweet and kind, Strader said. Among Meeker's duties as queen were handing out ribbons during goat, poultry, and swine shows. She even got to show a pig for someone. That was a fun experience, she said. I learned a lot about how to show animals and facts about pigs and goats. I learned how to shear sheep and about how many farms there are, the top crops, and how important it is in our community. Meeker also participated in a Wheels of Agriculture game show and was a winner. The 19-year-old's official duties also included being present at every grandstand event at the fair, which ran from June 25th to the 29th. It was a hot time at the old fair, with highs in the 90s and dripping humidity. Meeker called it probably the hottest fair I've been to. She was one of 13 young women competing for the crown. Her reaction to hearing her name called as Fair Queen was one of shock. I was kind of overwhelmed in a good way. It was the third time doing the Vermilion County Fair pageant, Meeker said, noting she received advice from directors, mentors, even former queens. Meeker was also first runner-up at a previous Georgetown fair. At Vermilion County Fair this year, Macy Musgrave was named first runner-up and Serenity Reed second runner-up. Named Junior Miss was Madeline Hurd, while Emma Lee Binkley was the Little Miss pageant winner. Meeker, who is a daughter of Jay Meeker and the late Mary Meeker, lost her mother when Lily was 14. She now lives in Oakwood with an aunt and cousins. Meeker called her late mother a big role model. She said her mother helped her a great deal in pageants, and her participation was a good way to honor her. Meeker enjoys the entire pageant experience, especially the sisterhood. She said she has grown in confidence. Growing up, I was a little shy. Meeker, who will be a junior this fall at Millikan University in Decatur, is majoring in nursing with a goal of becoming a registered nurse. She plans to eventually go back to get my nurse practitioner degree. It's really good, she said of her Millikan experience. I balance volleyball. She's a member of the school's Division III team that reached the Sweet 16 last year. Nursing and membership in a few clubs. It really is a fun experience, she said. Meeker is a member of the National Student Nursing Association and is part of Delight Christian Ministry at Millikan. She made the Millikan Dean's List in the fall and the spring. Meeker was a News Gazette High School Confidential correspondent. During the summer, she is working as an intern for the Danville Dans baseball team, doing day-to-day operations such as marketing, selling merchandise, greeting fans, and helping with children's games. Meeker is also employed by Mixed Up Mobile, a high-energy drink business in Danville. Her fair duties are far from over. She will be traveling to numerous area pageants. She participated in the Oakwood 4th of July parade. Meeker will be among the county fair queens at the Illinois State Fair in August and will compete for the county fair state title in January. And now we're going to turn to the obituaries for this Tuesday. And the first today is for Donald Don Weiss II. Donald Don Weiss II, 59, of Danville, Illinois, walked through the valley of the shadow of death into the arms of Jesus on July 2, 2025 at 3:16 p.m. at Northwestern Hospital in Chicago, Illinois. His mother and brother were at his side. A celebration of life will be held at 10 a.m. on Saturday, July 12th at Connection Church, 2915 Townway Road, Danville, Illinois, 61832. Pastor Buddy Wilson will officiate. Burial will be in Jones Grove Cemetery in Catlin, and visitation will be from 4 to 8 p.m. on Friday, July 11th, 2025 at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville, Illinois, at 3940 North Vermilion Street. Memorials may be made in Don's memory to St. Jude Hospital or Tunnels for Towers, both of which Don supported. Melissa M. Babb. Melissa Mary Inglesby Babb went home to her dear Lord and loved ones waiting for her in heaven, with her daughters by her side, at the age of 95 on Sunday, July 6, 2025. Friends may call at the Mouse Funeral Home, Hillsboro, on Friday, July 11th, from 11 a.m. until her service time at 1 p.m., with Pastor Gary Johnson officiating. Burial will follow in the Waynetown Masonic Cemetery. Memorial contributions may be made to the Sterling Christian Church. Cheryl K. Sullivan. Cheryl K. Sullivan was born July 17, 1969, to John Sullivan and Vera Wilson, and passed away on July 7th. Allison Fink, Christina Hull, Dwayne, and Richard Deverick were her children. Cheryl had a special friend, Charles Thompson, and a grandchild, Charles Fink. Raul or Mike San Miguel. Raul Mike San Miguel, 79, of Penfield, died Tuesday, July 1st, 2025. Visitation will be from 5 to 7 p.m. Wednesday, July 9th, at Sunset Funeral Homes, Lux Chapel, at 1551 East Grove Street in Rantoul. A funeral service will be at 10 a.m. Thursday, July 10th, at St. Lawrence Catholic Church in Penfield. Immediately following the service, he will be laid to rest in St. Lawrence Cemetery in Penfield. Father Joel Phelps will officiate. In lieu of flowers, please consider a donation to the Penfield Gifford American Legion or the St. Lawrence Church Altar and Rosary Society. Raymond Abbott. Raymond Abbott, 75, of Danville, died at 12:06 p.m. Friday, July 4th, 2025, at OSF Sacred Heart Medical Center in Danville. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Rortvedt Funeral Services and Crematory at 3 South Hodge Street in Tilton. Stephen Blazidis. Stephen L. Blazidis, 71, of Westville, died at 12:08 a.m. Monday, July 7th, at home. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Rortvedt Funeral Services and Crematory at 3 South Hodge Street in Tilton. William R. Gowdy. William Richard Gowdy of Danville died Thursday, July 3rd, at home, surrounded by family. A celebration of life will be at noon Saturday at Second Church of Christ, 3550 East Voorhees Street in Danville. Visitation will be from 10 a.m. to noon Saturday at the church. Rortvedt Funeral Services in Tilton is in charge of the arrangements. Betty Greenwood. Betty Greenwood, 91, of Urbana and formerly of Danville, died at 5:44 p.m. Wednesday, July 2nd, at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Robison Chapel, 103 Douglas Street in Catlin. Penny Nelk. Penny Marie Nelk, 63, of Westville, died at 1:35 p.m. Friday, July 4th, in East Bernstadt, Kentucky. Visitation will be held from 3 to 5 p.m. Thursday, July 10th, at Robison Chapel at 103 Douglas Street in Catlin. Funeral services will be at 5 p.m. Thursday, July 10th, at the funeral home. Chris Lawler will officiate, and Robison Chapel in Catlin is in charge of the arrangements. Cheryl Tutwiler. Cheryl Tutwiler, 70, died at 5:04 a.m. Monday, July 7th, at home. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Robison Chapel, 103 Douglas Street in Catlin. And that's the end of the obituaries for today. We're going to look at one brief story here from the News Gazette. This is titled, Man Seriously Injured in Saturday Shooting. And this is by Luke Taylor. Danville. A Danville man is in serious condition after being found with a gunshot wound on Saturday night. Danville police were dispatched about 10 p.m. Saturday to the 400 block of North Vermilion Street, where they found the 30-year-old with a gunshot wound. He was taken to an Urbana hospital, where he is currently listed in serious condition. Officers learned that the shooting occurred on the northwest side of Churchill Towers in the 100 block of East Seminary Street. That scene has been processed by the Illinois State Police Crime Unit. Danville Police Deputy Chief Terry McCord said the department currently has no suspects, witnesses, or further leads. Anyone with information is encouraged to contact police at 217-431-2250. Those wishing to remain anonymous can contact Vermilion County Crime Stoppers at 217-446-8477 or vccrimestoppers.org or via the free P3 Tips mobile app. And returning to the local pages of the commercial news, we have Bats sentenced to prison. And this is a staff report. On July 3rd, Marcus Bats, formerly of Danville, pleaded guilty to unlawful possession of weapon by a felon, a Class 2 felony. Bats was sentenced to 9 years in the Illinois Department of Corrections and will serve a term of 1 year mandatory supervised release following his incarceration. The people presented evidence that on March 25th, an officer with the Danville Police Department attempted to conduct a traffic stop for a violation of the vehicle code. Marcus Bats was the driver of the vehicle. Instead of stopping, Bats led police on a car chase, eventually turning into an alleyway, and the officer lost pursuit of the vehicle. Shortly thereafter, the vehicle was located, and when the officer approached the vehicle, Bats fled on foot. The defendant was quickly apprehended, and just before the police caught him, Bats threw a gun over a fence, which was recovered by police. The officer also located a small bag of heroin on Bats' person. Bats had been previously convicted of a felony gun offense. State's Attorney Jacqueline Lacey thanked the Danville Police Department. She also said this defendant not only possessed a firearm unlawfully, but also showed blatant disregard for public safety by leading officers on a dangerous car chase through our city's streets. We are grateful no one was hurt, and this sentence shows our continued commitment to holding repeat offenders accountable. Our next staff report is titled, Danville, a man arrested for stolen vehicle. On July 3rd, around 7:16 a.m., Danville police received a report of a black and color Toyota Sequoia as being stolen from a residence in the 1600 block of East Voorhees Street in Danville. A short time later, around 7:38, a Vermilion County Sheriff's deputy observed the stolen vehicle in the area of the 200 block of East Fairchild Street. The deputy attempted to make a traffic stop on the stolen vehicle, at which time the driver refused to stop, and a vehicle pursuit was initiated as the vehicle proceeded northbound on Bowman Avenue. The driver of the stolen vehicle disobeyed the red light at Bowman Avenue and Voorhees Street and proceeded through the intersection, striking a Chevrolet Trailblazer that was traveling eastbound on Voorhees Street. The driver of the stolen vehicle exited and began running northbound from the scene, where the Vermilion County Sheriff's deputy and a responding Danville police officer took him into custody. The driver of the stolen vehicle was identified as 29-year-old Keon A. Underwood of Danville. Underwood was transported from the scene to an area hospital for evaluation of non-life-threatening injuries he sustained because of the traffic crash. The driver of the Chevrolet Trailblazer was evaluated by medical personnel for non-life-threatening injuries and then released at the scene. No other injuries were reported during this incident. Underwood will be booked at the Vermilion County Jail on preliminary charges of possession of a stolen vehicle and aggravated fleeing and eluding, as well as multiple traffic violations. Members of the public are reminded that a complaint is merely an accusation. The defendant is presumed innocent unless proven guilty. The investigation into this incident continues, and no other information is being released at this time. Next is juvenile arrested for weapons charges. This is also a staff report. A member of the Danville Police Department Community Housing Unit, along with the assistance of the Problem Oriented Policing Unit and Vermilion County Metropolitan Enforcement Group, arrested a 17-year-old juvenile on Wednesday evening, July 2nd, around 4 p.m. on gun charges in the area of Martin and Norman Streets. Officers witnessed the suspect acting suspicious while walking illegally in the middle of the roadway. The juvenile was stopped and found to have a loaded firearm. The juvenile was arrested and charged with aggravated unlawful use of a weapon, possessing it under the age of 21, unlawful use of a weapon, possession of a machine gun, and obstructing a peace officer. The suspect was taken to the Vermilion County Juvenile Detention Center and held for a court hearing. The Danville Police Department reminds the public that all subjects arrested are considered innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. If anyone has further information on this incident, please contact the Danville Police Department at 217-431-2250. Next up, we have another staff report titled Work to Begin on Hungry Hollow Road. The Vermilion County Highway Department announces improvements to Hungry Hollow Road from Henning Road to the west city limit of Danville. Work is scheduled to begin on Thursday and expected to be completed by August 22nd and will include partial depth patching, hot in-place recycling, HMA surface course, raised reflective markers, and shoulder rumble strips. Drivers can expect delays and should use alternate routes when possible. Drivers are urged to use caution in work zones, obey posted speed limits and signs, refrain from using mobile devices, and be alert for workers and equipment. And finally, from the Community Briefs column, we have Taps on Tuesday meets. This week's Taps on Tuesday program will feature Sherry and Robert House. They will talk about a memory stone placed in the Soldier's Circle honoring World War I soldier Wayman Mayberry, who was killed in action. Anita Zeller will sound taps in his honor and for all those who have served. Tara Outer, Greg Green, Larry Weatherford, and Rebecca Woodrum will also participate in the program. The program will be held at Spring Hill Cemetery's Soldier's Circle starting at 6 p.m. It's presented by the Vermilion County War Museum and the Ward Hill Layman Civil War Roundtable. And that takes us to the end of our time for this Tuesday. My name is Greg, and as always, it's been a pleasure to read for you, and I hope that you have a splendid day. Take care.